From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Good morning, Lockbusters.
Jay.
Yes.
Hey, Jason Pfeiffer.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
That's me talking to Jay Sofer for the first time, but we'd traded a lot of emails before that. In fact, the very first time Jay ever heard from me, we were communicating through Yelp. So Jay is a locksmith. His company, as you heard, is called Lockbusters, and he's based in New York. And I called him because I had a lock that needed busting. Actually, I had a lock that needed busting for a few days, and I tried absolutely everything to bust it myself before deciding it was time to call a professional. And, well, I don't want to give too much away right now because you'll hear the whole story in a minute. But the bottom line is this. Once I started looking for locksmiths, it became very clear that Jay focused on customer service in a way that his competitors didn't. And to be clear, I'm not doing an advertisement for Jay here. I was just a customer in need of a locksmith. But what I saw from Jay got me thinking about the simplest, easiest, most obvious, and yet perhaps most overlooked and undervalued tool in business. And that is trust. Building trust. Because trust can be a competitive advantage, especially in crowded industries.
This is basically what built my entire career. I mean, what you just said as being a differentiating factor, building trust with clients, it's actually my primary differentiating factor. And it's the whole reason why I'm even relevant in the first place in this industry.
In fact, my experience with Jay got me thinking so much that I decided to write my editor's letter in the magazine about it. It's in the March 2020 issue, which I encourage you to pick up, but I'm also going to read it to you here on the podcast because I think that there is just such an important lesson to be learned from a guy like Jay, which is to say, a guy who knows that his business lives or dies on his ability to earn people's trust. So here's what we're going to do on this episode. I'm going to read you my column, and then after that, Jay and I are going to have a conversation about customer service and trust building and all the simple things that you can do to make people love you and recommend you and come back the next time they need you. This is the simple, overlooked magic of customer service, and it's coming up, along with some fun stories about being a locksmith in New York, right after the break.
As a business owner, you do a little bit of everything. But all those tasks can take time away from focusing on your business. With a U.S. Bank business checking account, you can make mobile check deposits, send and accept same-day payments, and transfer funds instantly, saving you precious time. And with trusted advice from business bankers, you can be confident and focused on the future of your business. Schedule an appointment with a business banker at usbank.com/businesschecking. Deposit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
And now, our next sponsor.
You want to talk about problems and how to solve them? Well, when running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and solving this is not cheap because HR manager salaries hit an average of $70,000 a year. So what do you do if you don't have that cash, but you still want to run a responsible business with the right HR expertise? You check out Bambee. That is spelled B-A-M-B-E-E. Which was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. The service is month to month. There's no hidden fees. You can cancel at any time. So check it out. Go to Bambee.com/solve right now, and you can schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/solve. Again, spelled Bambee.com/solve. All right, we're back. So like I said before, first, I want to read you this column that I wrote in our March 2020 issue. It's about me and Jay and the thoughts that came out of that interaction. And then after that, let's have an actual conversation with Jay about how this guy built his business and what customer service really means for him. So I called this column The Key to Earning Trust. And here it is. As we produced this issue of Entrepreneur, an annoying thing happened. I arrived at work to find my office door closed and locked. Blame the overnight cleaning crew? I didn't know, but I never lock my door and don't even have a key, so this was a problem. My colleagues valiantly tried to break in, but it turns out that editors make for bad burglars. Ultimately, I had to find a different way to unlock the door, and in the process, I learned an important lesson about unlocking customers' trust, too. But first, picture it. There's me, standing like a doofus, locked out of my own office. At a loss for what to do, I went to Yelp, found a bunch of locksmiths, and emailed them to explain the problem and ask for quotes. Four replied quickly. The first one wrote simply this, quote, "Price estimate, $29. Then 18 minutes later, they followed up with this promise, quote, "I will give best price," end quote. The second wrote, quote, "$125 to open the door, just need phone number and address," end quote. The third didn't offer a price. They just wrote, quote, "Yes, we can help you, call to verify your address," end quote. The fourth came from a guy named Jay Sofer, owner of Lockbusters, who wrote me this, quote, "Hi, Jason. Thank you for the detail. Would it be possible to send me a quick image of that handle to make certain I give you an accurate quote? Here's my direct email address," end quote. In a matter of minutes, I'd found what feels like a microcosm of business itself. Here we had four competitors. Half competed on price alone. One wanted my business but didn't want to work for it. And then there was Jay, the only one to address me by name, thank me for my time, or ask for more information. So I sent Jay a photo of the lock. He replied, thanked me again, and explained that the project would cost between $99 and $198, depending on whether they'd need to replace the lock's core. Then, a few minutes later, he followed up, quote, "Hi, Jason, some bad news. My technician is at our supplier showing them the image of your lock, and we cannot replace that core," end quote. Then he described in detail why the job was complicated and could cost up to $300. Now, that is a full $271 more dollars than the guy who promised me the best price. So, of course, I said yes to Jay. When he increased his price up front, he also increased my trust. I knew what I was getting. In contrast, I had no idea what I'd get from his competitors, but I was pretty sure it wouldn't be a $29 bill. Jay's colleague arrived to do the work, and afterwards, I was emailing with Jay about his business. He is no dummy. He knows how his competitors operate. He told me that, quote, "prices and communication are usually vague in an effort to overcomplicate the process," end quote, which leads to bait and switches. So in 2008, when he turned to entrepreneurship after losing everything in the recession, he saw an obvious path. Quote, "The idea I had starting Lockbusters was to position myself as the good guy," he says. Trust would be his competitive advantage. This is so smart, but also, isn't it a little crazy? You'd think everyone would do this. How can something so basic, so obvious, be a competitive advantage? But the truth is, too many businesses treat customers as transactions. They just want to win the business, even if the customer is unhappy as a result. I have theories on why they do this. It could be a fear of competition or just the way they were taught. But ultimately, it comes down to the question of where you find your joy. Are you in business to serve others or to serve yourself? Jay knows his answer. Quote, "I enjoy helping people and consider it a privilege," he told me. When you think that way, your customer isn't a transaction. It's another person, someone to build a relationship with, even if it's a brief one, and even if it's about something as simple as a lock. Because in any business, in any industry, relationships are what it really comes down to. So what is the key to unlocking a consumer's trust? It's simple. When you love your work and you love your customers, you'll do the kinds of things that make people love you back. So, okay, that is the issue. I'm going to literally put it away now. And so I wrote this thing and then I emailed Jay and I said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to write about you in my editor's letter. And after I do, would you mind hopping on the phone so that we could talk for the podcast?" And of course, he was very excited and happy to do that because he loves talking about customer service. And so when we got on the phone, I said, "Jay, where did you learn this? Where did this come from, this instinctive insight to build trust and build relationships?" And he said it's something that he picked up as a kid.
I mean, my entire family on both sides are all mechanics. And grew up in pretty old school neighborhoods. My pop was in Yorkville as a shop owner for decades in the Upper East Side. My mom lived in an old school immigrant community in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. So everyone basically knew each other. It was, I kind of call it like small town New York City. It was a great time to be a kid. You knew all your neighbors. Everyone would come to the shop. My favorite memories are people leaving like Polaroid pictures of their dogs in the shop. And so we had like a little wall with cute pictures of animals. And, you know, you knew everyone's first name and you worked for every local business and you knew every local business in the area. So building trust was kind of already built in me. So that's sort of my default right there. where it actually applied to business was when, like every kid growing up in the industry, I just wanted to do everything to get out. So I went to the New School about 2005 to 2008 to study sign language. And the recession kind of halted those dreams of being an interpreter. But you couldn't have told me then it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because that was the impetus of starting Lockbusters.
You had said that in the email, you had told me that you either had searched through what's out there in the industry. You had done some research and identified that all the people who were locksmiths were falling down on the job with customer service. You know, there were all sorts of ways Was that something you had just intuitively known, or did you do some research into this industry before you jumped into it?
Oh, well, I mean, I grew up in the industry and I saw the bad actors starting to form a little bit prior to me getting out and starting an academic career. And I saw the bait and switch tactics start to form. I mean, this started even pre-relevance of the review-based market or internet sites that promoted businesses. I mean, this started with the Yellow Pages, 411. I mean, people would just blanket every block with a locksmith, you know, location, particularly surrounding like an old mom and pop store, to intentionally divert business to them. Bait and switch tactics are, it's probably the most prevalent in this industry, unfortunately. That's what the bad actors default to. And unfortunately, I think that's what you experienced out your inquiry.
Right. That was basically people who were coming to me with very, very low prices. And I didn't really know what was going to happen if I had said yes to them, but I just figured there was no way that I was going to ultimately pay this price. Like, what actually happens if I say, oh, yeah, you can do this for $29? Come do it. Like, what would happen?
Wow. I'm just so happy and grateful that you chose me and that you had the presence of mind to kind of see through that BS. I mean, a lot of people call with very volatile circumstances that don't have the time to use some of their like discerning factors to see through that. So, you know, you're kicking out a crazy ex, or you're firing an employee that's been stealing, and you see somebody that answers first with a low price and says, okay, whatever, just come over. And then that's when the party starts for these bad actors. So, you know, the next step that I've heard from clients that have typically found me after they've had a bad experience, they say, yeah, you know, he lowballed me online, you know, or over the phone, came in, said my lock was something strange, like something, you know, almost sci-fi, and it's going to take this much and this much and this much. And then that's even if they want to play that game. Often it's just hitting you with charges, just right on paper. A lot of intimidation tactics that they use, you know, especially unfortunately to young women, they'll bring like 2 to 3 guys at the location sometimes. This happens a lot at night, particularly when people are, they're a little drunk, they got to get home. They just pick the first person that pops up online, and then again, the party starts. And that unfortunately, you know, has been what's been highly publicized, is just all those bad actors. And when I got back into the industry during the recession, I knew, one, not only people couldn't afford to have that happen to them, but I wanted to be a response to that. So that's how Lockbusters was formed.
Yeah, but you're up against them in a challenging way, I imagine. I wonder how you think about it and approach it, because, okay, so they're bad actors, but people don't know that they're bad actors. And so what they are in the surface is they are very fast at responding and they have very low prices. So now, yeah, you're doing the opposite. You're a fast responder too, but you don't have low prices because you're not lowballing people. You have actual prices. And so, you know, now you're kind of competing in this marketplace of price, and you need to trust that consumers are going to engage with you enough to see that differentiator. How has that been working for you?
Sure. So, I mean, what distinguishes me from the competition are all the reviews from Yelp. Yelpers basically made Lockbusters. They endorsed my business practice. So everything that I had in theory, that I'm just going to take care of anyone who comes into the door the same way my pop took care of them, the same way I had that old school neighborhood feel in New York City. Like, that's how I'm going to treat everybody. And the first thing, the top of the list of how a customer will experience me is with good customer service. If it wasn't for Yelper's endorsement in the form of 5-star reviews, I wouldn't have a leg to stand on. It would just be me saying that, yep, this is what I do, but the other guy who's lowballing is saying the same thing. So if it wasn't for that client endorsement, then that's the reason why I'm relevant. So that means everything. And hopefully it was part of your decision process when you chose us, that, you know, you saw the reviews, maybe read a couple of them to see that, okay, yep, this guy's actually legit.
Oh yeah. That's exactly what I did. Yeah. That's exactly what I did. I found you.
Music to my ears.
Yeah. I found you on Yelp, and then I filled out that little thing to ask for a quote. And then at the very end, just before it sends, Yelp says, do you want to get quotes from other people? And I said, sure, because why not? And that's what opened it up. And so that's when I started getting hit with all sorts of responses. And I assume that those people are paying to have the ability to do that, to get in on someone else's potential business. But it was very clear to me. I mean, I'd been primed, I suppose, because your Yelp reviews all said, this guy is trustworthy, et cetera, et cetera. He's very responsive. But then I was able to see that play out because even in your very first response, while I was just hearing from everybody, you wrote in complete sentences, you addressed me, you thanked me, you just did stuff that was very, very basic that these guys weren't doing. Like, it was down to the word level that made a difference.
You know, I tell people when they ask me, how do you get so many good reviews? I said, well, two reasons. The first one is the competition set the bar really low for me, you know? So if you can't even, you know, complete sentences, or when basic courtesy is received as something astonishing, that's how you know the customer service is pretty pathetic in this industry.
And that's the thing that really struck me throughout this experience. That's the reason that I wrote the column that I wrote, is because what you were doing, Jay, is great, but it's also not rocket science. You're just treating people nicely and you're being upfront with them. And that shouldn't be some kind of crazy business revelation. But the weird thing is that it is.
In this industry, it is. And you know what I like about the review-based market so much? It's turning a lot of things on its head. So it's making things that are typically transactionable or have become transactionable into something personable. So like, you know, I'm not your locksmith anymore. I'm Jay, who's coming to your home. And, you know, you see my face and, you know, you read a bit about me. So it immediately develops that trust, which I love. And my primary concern when you call me is, first, yes, I'm going to thank you, because there are not 1,000, there's 10,000 people that you could choose, but you chose to call me. So I'm going to help you. And that's going to be number one. And with no implied goal other than, I want to help you so that maybe you can tell your friend that I did right. So the reason why I've been going 11 years strong, I've still been the top rated and maintained a 5-star rating on Yelp, is because I'm not really that motivated by greed. Whereas all these bait and switch tactics that you kind of saw right through, it's just people just trying to aggressively get in your door. And you also pointed out that they're likely paying for that. So you can imagine that the meter's running now. They're doing a cost-benefit analysis here. We've got to close on X amount to make this budget worth it. We also have to split the job maybe three ways, because sometimes it just goes to a call center that goes to a guy that dispatches another guy. So it's just getting cut up in every different direction. Another thing I like about the review-based market is that it holds me accountable to these things. I know that I'm going to do right by you. And if I can't, maybe I could recommend somebody that can, because my primary concern is to help you first, especially when I'm leading with gratitude that you called me in the first place.
Yeah.
So I've received 5-star reviews from people that I haven't even helped. They've called me, they've sent me pictures. I told them, like, look, thank you for trying me. I can't help you. But you know what? I remember my pop worked with this guy out in Queens, and I think he might have that key blank. Hang on a second. Let me see if he has it. And then lo and behold, they do. And I'm able to go ahead and direct them. And like you said, something that's just so basic, that would just be what someone nice would say, or just somebody who actually gives a damn and wants to help you.
Yeah.
Now I'm rewarded online for that with a 5-star review that ends up leading to other business. Now, I didn't tell the client, like, hey, if I help you here, will you give me? No, there was no implied goal there. It's like, I couldn't help you. Thank you for calling me. Maybe I could come through for you in the future. And that's how I started. And the future so far has been 11 years forward. And my goal in the beginning was to actually have a job 10 years from when I started. So I'm on year 11 now. So hopefully what I'm doing is okay.
Yeah, I'd say so. So you grew up seeing what good customer service looked like, the importance of building relationships with clients. But once you got into this business, were there things about customer service, about dealing with customers, about what it means to actually deliver great value in customer service that you learned along the way and that might have felt surprising when you first discovered it?
I had good examples growing up of just being around people. I mean, both my parents, you know, work with people, my mother in healthcare and in pretty extreme circumstances. People respond to kindness and sincerity. It's that simple. And I think that's what has resonated with everyone that I've had the pleasure of interacting with, whether I've been able to help them or not. What did strike me as pretty amazing is that how impactful the review-based market can be. People write about their personal experiences now, which is really nice. I think if there's any common thread through every business in the reviews, it's just people like to talk about good interactions with other people, which is awesome because I'm not going to stop being a nice person. I'm not going to stop trying to help you out, especially when I'm in the position where I can help you, maybe in a difficult circumstance. I mean, I need help too. You know, the last thing I need is to go and get my car fixed, somebody open up the hood, and just for a simple oil change now, it's, oh, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and I can completely see through the BS, you know? It's like, these are things that stick with you, you know? They leave the worst taste in your mouth, but the opposite is also true. If you have a really good customer experience, that stays with you too. I don't know if I answered your question or not, but it goes back to, I didn't research the market and develop some sort of customer service plan. I just wanted to be a person, and that's what came across.
Yeah. No, that does. I mean, it sounds like you entered into it with the core observation that has just carried you through. It sounds like almost instinctually, right? You seem to have an understanding of what your role is in people's lives and the mission that you have, and you want to the degree that you are, be involved in these people's moments, right? Like you recognize that they're turning to you to solve a problem, which is quite different from turning to you with their wallets open, right? Which is, I guess, what you might think if you were thinking of customers differently. If you thought of customers as walking wallets, then all you would do is try to figure out how to get them to open the wallets, which is what you're describing in a lot of the bad actors in this industry. But if you think of yourself differently, if you think of yourself as having some kind of relationship with people, even if it's short-lived, and you think of them as people, then you're naturally going to react to them differently.
Yeah, I love that term, walking wallet. I love that. That's great. Going back to what I said is something being like going from transactionable to personable, you know, I mean, I have a unique job where I'm coming to your home and I'm coming to your office, which is most people's primary home. So it's a unique situation that you're in a volatile experience and I'm now you've just welcomed me into your house. So that's something that I have to treat with a lot of respect. You put that trust in me. You know, it's funny. The best review I've ever had, and the funniest, someone said that, oh, I would trust Jay to babysit my kid. You know, which is hilarious. But what that told me was that, you know what? He felt comfortable with me being in his house. And often I do see people's kids and interact with them. Sometimes the little kids, they see me take out my toolbox and they run and go get their play toolbox with the plastic hammers and the drills. And, you know, one mom couldn't wait to put her kid in a construction outfit to come out and show me the hard hat that, you know, he got for Christmas. I just hilarious. So like, I'm in your house, you know, it's a little bit different than you bringing your car into a garage. So,
Right. Yeah. Actually, can you indulge with if there's been any kind of particularly amusing, and this has nothing to do with customer service, or maybe it does, maybe you can spin it into a tale of customer service, but it just hadn't occurred to me that you're in the business of walking into people's homes at you know, what are probably often very stressful moments. Is there a particular memorable show up at the home and it's just craziness? Like what is the weirdest thing you've walked into?
Oh man, where do you want to start? We don't have enough time for that. I can go on for days. I mean, most of the time when I get to the very rare times I get to hang out with friends over drinks, all they want to do is hear what's the crazy stuff that happened to you this weekend. So, I mean, I can tell you that what always strikes me as funny, and at the end of the day, I just shake my head and go, wow, I'm really seeing New York, is the contrast throughout the day. So, you know, I could start my Saturday morning working for a couple that just bought a condo in the Upper West Side and they're expecting, and it's very white glove and formal and congratulations on your new home and everything, and very nice, going straight to a group that has literally been partying since the Friday night before, crawling back. I have to help someone up this, you know, a 5-floor walk up in an East Village building to get into their door.
And that's the beauty of New York, isn't it? Everything is just squished together. Every possible version of life is right here.
Every possible version of life. You're putting these beautifully. That's exactly it. I'm going to have to use that. I mean, there's people that have called me and saying like, look, I'm locked out and I'm, you know, wearing nothing but a trash can lid. I mean, what kind of decisions did you make in life to be in that circumstance where your clothing now is a trash can lid, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But like I said, I could go on for days.
Yeah. So, well, I guess that to put a bow on it, is there a difference in serving these people? And I'm going to guess the answer is no, but I'm curious if you've picked up anything or learned anything from serving this very wide range of customers, from the folks who just bought multi-million-dollar condos to the you know, kids who have been partying since last week. Is there any difference in how to treat people or what people are looking for? Or is it a pretty universal that just being upfront and nice and thanking them for their time works for everybody.
Yeah, I would say that it works for everybody. I mean, I have plenty of reviews online that speak to that, you know, that, wow, people here, for instance, people will call and say, my elderly mother, like, I'm in California, she's in, you know, Sunnyside, Queens, and she's having lock trouble. I read your reviews. I'm just going to trust that you'll do the right thing. Difficult circumstance. Maybe the woman's locked inside and elderly, and I'll go in there and do it, just, you know, help them out and go from there. That type of trust is awesome.
Jay, I appreciate your time, your transparency, your services in getting me back into my locked office.
my pleasure.
And thanks for, you know, I don't know. Thanks for being a good guy in business.
Thanks, man. I appreciate your time too. It's great talking to you.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.